I know my sister's has, because she's right in that. That's, you know, she works with the young people. Like, but for example, our community, you know, we know it happens and they go. It's yeah. not an issue. They want to do this, then they go and they have it done. You know, yeah. It's neither negative or positive or whatever. It's just part of life in this modern day. That's what you have to do when you have no other resources.
Maybe this is a good place. That. Yeah. Okay. Maybe this is a good place to talk about the position of abortion within Native American communities. It's not a very nuanced position within urban white communities. It's either seen as a horrible evil, or it's seen as an absolute right. But, you know, it flips. It's really, really polarized. There's not a lot of nuance to how people regard abortion. Is that true within Lakota tradition? Is it is there a traditional perspective?
Well, okay, traditional, how the original, our ancestors dealt with it. There had to be, if you want to call it birth control. I mean, there had to be because of the subsistence, you know, a way of life of our ancestors. And our original societies were child-centered societies because of the infant, you know, survival rate, whatever, you know, the elements, whatever. But also families were limited, and there was herbal, you know, traditional, we call it traditional medicines, herbal, you know, that were used to limit a family size. But also there was birth control for the men, and we had sweat lodges.
Mm.
And there were certain ceremonies that men had, and they used the sweat lodge for that purpose.
Wow.
Because of the high, you know, heat and mm-hmm. I mean, there's traditional ways of doing things that yeah. were done that weren't talked about, and taboo this and taboo that. It was just part of you know, surviving, and how's the best way to survive in a tribal, you know, subsistence hunting and gathering society. So when these issues came, you know, in the modern day, it wasn't such a big, you know, issue and a big, you know, controversy in Indian communities. Now, again, I'm saying, I'm from South Dakota, you know, the Northern Plains, you know, I'm only speaking for what I know from my area. You know, if there's any, you know, indigenous people listening, you know, I'm not speaking for anybody else, but from what I know from my area. So it, you know, but again, with the coming of Christianity, that just messed everybody's value system up and principles and things. And it's really, really difficult for the traditional value system to survive in this modern day, because Christianity has just messed everything up. And I can say this from my own personal experience. I'm not, you know, repeating what anybody else said or I heard, because I know in my lifetime, you know, so right now, for example, if you were to say to someone, you know, would you like to sign this? It's about the abortion issue, the state, you know. And they'll look at it and they'll say, okay, and sign. Mm. You know, it isn't like a big discussion and, oh, no, get that away from me, you know. And but then you have the other, you know, side is they'll just say, oh, it's terrible, you know, we can't. It's not our tradition to support abortion. I've heard people in my own family say that, you know, extended family. But we don't argue about it. I mean, that's your belief because you belong to the Catholic Church, you know. Mm-hmm. So I know where you're coming from. So, yeah, well, whatever, you know. And she knows how I think, you know, mm-hmm. because I'm not a Christian, you know. I don't believe in, you know, I go with our traditional beliefs and spiritual ways. So it's not that. It's not a, you know, controversial issue at home.
I mean, I always saw my own abortions as a gesture towards sustainability. I have a responsibility to live in a state of equilibrium. You know what I mean? Physical equilibrium, emotional equilibrium. I can't put out more than I have in the bank,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that always seemed really obvious to me. that it was a way for me to stay balanced and that balance matters. And so it sounds to me like you're saying that abortion was traditionally seen as just one tactic among many. As you continue to recognize sustainability between yourselves, the land you lived on, mm-hmm. and the way you had to live in order to ensure survival, not just for one person, but for many people. And I think, you know, part of me wonders if that's what has been lost in the move to cities, to being an urban person, is that, you know, that sustainability. I can, you know what I'm saying? I can mm-hmm. go to the store and buy food.
Yeah.
Right. If I overproduce in terms of how many children I have, it doesn't really kind of, I mean, there is no sort of overproduction for me, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's speculation. But that's one way I think that abortion doesn't get defined sometimes is that it's a gesture towards sustainability, and that sustainability it can be measured a lot of different ways.
Mm hmm. Well, in this modern day, too, I noticed, like I said, back home, it isn't a real burning issue, you know. It's just one of many. But I noticed that different, people that, if the subject comes up and we talk about it, there's people that say, no, I don't believe in abortion. But, you know, it should be a person's, their decision, you know, whether they want to or not. That's their business, not mine, you know. And I've also had people say, gee, these people are pro-life, and, you know, they use those terms of pro-life, and, you know, all these billboards showing, you know, abortion is killing babies and things like that. And then the killing started when the right-wing fundamentalist Christian men got involved and started bombing buildings and killing doctors. And these are pro-life people, you know? So it's real basic, things that people see.
Yeah.
And they're looking at in reality. You can talk theory and this and that and the other thing, law and all that, but on a daily basis, what do you see? You know, how does this affect the average woman or not even, or the grandmother or the husband or the brother in the family? You know, it's what they see, you know. How can you say you're pro-life when you're into killing people and harassing women and bombing buildings?
Yeah.
You know.
That's the traditional critique that mm-hmm. that comes from people like myself who are, you know, pro-choice. That obviously most of the anti-choice movement is owned and operated by people who have killed entire civilian populations in Iraq.
Yeah.
It's right. Also true, though, this is an interesting thing, that this is something you see in San Francisco. There is a tradition within the Catholic Church. You know, the Catholic Church has produced a fair amount of peacemakers, of people who are opposed to the war, people who are opposed mm-hmm. to the death penalty. The anti-choice march that we have in San Francisco is organized by the Archdiocese of San Francisco. And although there are a lot of people who think that war is a good thing that are marching in that, there are also, I think, a lot of Catholics
mm-hmm.
who come from the tradition that mistakenly ties in war with abortion. In other words, they think that my act of abortion is equivalent to dropping a bomb on a village. You know, that's their tradition. Because
yeah.
God is the Christian God is the only God that can take away life or initiate life. And so anything you do to end life, which is a very broad term as defined by them, is, you know, so it gets very nuanced when you figure out how to answer your opposition. You have to make distinctions between white Protestant men who are all gung-ho about the war in Iraq versus Catholic peacemakers who mm-hmm. mistakenly believe that abortion is an act of violence. But as you say, there are more issues at play that affect people's health on the reservation than just banning abortion. What about environmental, speaking of women's reproductive health, what are some other threats to it? What about environmental threats Are there water toxicity issues? Are there food issues? You know, is there?
You name it. We've got it. We've got it. We're subject to everything, you know.
Yeah.
And we're such a small population that we feel the effects of whatever, contaminated water, you know, polluted air. I mean, you name it. But, for example, geez, 20 years ago or so, our women's group warned women of all red nations. We did a water study on Pine Ridge Reservation because there were so many, they called it spontaneous abortions, young women. And come to find out it was, there was radiation contamination in the water. And the IHS at the time was saying, well, it has to do with personal cleanliness, the lack of, you know, that's the only explanation they had at that time. And so we did a study on the water and found out that there was such high, you know, radiation contamination of the water system on the Pine Ridge Indian reservations. That's what it was one of, you know, the reasons. So, of course, the CDC got involved and they said, well, these are alarmists and we're going to do our own test. And they did, and they found higher levels. The IHS did their test. They found higher levels. So when we went public with this, and that was during the height of the No Nukes movement back in the 80s. So what the Nuclear Regulatory Commission did then was they raised the levels of contamination from 5 picocuries per liter to 15. So all these communities would be under.
Huh.
But, you know, the cat was out of the bag, you know. So then there was this whole push for getting water, you know, fresh water in. And it was all this, you know, it became an issue then. So that's an example of how it affected, you know, the reproductive rights of Native women.
Is the water still?
Well, there's a pipeline. They were getting a whole new water system for Pine Ridge and everything. But then Bush, you know, declared war in Iraq, and all the money that's going there, the pipeline, the project is still on the books, but there's no money.
There's no money.
So they're hauling water to communities now.
Because the water on the reservation has been so compromised.
Yeah.
And so that's a real immediate direct threat to women's reproductive health. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But again, everything hinges on the dollar, the federal dollar. So when they, you know, cut the funding, then it's just, what do? You just, you know, tribal governments and agencies are just standing around wringing their hands sometimes, you know.
Good Lord. This is a question I have, and this is based on the history of the misuse of Depo-Provera, the chemical contraceptive on the reservation. Given that history that Native American women have had to, you know, fight to not be injected with chemical substances that reduce their fertility or end it, are there any new relationships that Native American women's health groups have now with pharmaceutical companies where you're in a position to demand more disclosure about the kinds of chemical contraceptives that are being forced on you or offered to you? AIDS activists, I think, have forged new relationships with the pharmaceutical companies that make the medicine to deal with AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And they fought to make that relationship more equitable so that they could demand the kind of stuff they needed from the pharmaceutical companies. But I don't feel like women are the ones that take birth control, you know, and we're the ones that are saddled with the chemical burden of taking hormonally based contraceptives. And I don't feel like we have that relationship with anyone who makes contraceptives. So do you feel is there any kind of relationship between Native American women's health organizations and the makers of contraceptives? Or is that?
I have no idea. If there is, it's not touching, you know, our communities on the reservation, at least, you know, my reservation, because I know of the young women, different ones that still have that,
mm-hmm.
you know,
Depo Provera.
Depo Provera.
And Nor Plant.
Yeah. And so if I'm sure there are some Native American women's health organizations that are dealing with that. And but it usually, because we're practically solely dependent on IHS for any kind of health care, women's health care, whatever, it all depends on what the women's health organizations do on the outside of Indian country that filters in. Because we don't have the organizing resources, money, whatever it takes to organize around these things, we just don't have it. Because everything else, housing is more important. Propane, you know, pay the water bill. All of those things are more immediate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. I just have one more question and then I'll stop. I know that you have a critique of 501c3 money, of foundations and all of that stuff. You know, the people's dependence on it can really mess up your political program. And I agree with you, because I was a fundraiser for for 501c3s for 10 years and ran into situations where I thought, I don't want to take money from these people. And I don't want to take money, you know, and I knew that they were giving it to the group so that they could look good, basically.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of alternative, I mean, given that you would prefer to not, given that you would prefer to not take, that you don't like working within the 501c3 schema, what kind of alternative funding and what kind of, how has that shaped your organizing in terms of how you get the resources you need?
Okay. June 18th, I'm going to be 66 years old. Okay. I've been a community organizer most of my adult life. I've seen what has happened to the movement, per se. The women's movement, anything, the environment, no nukes, you name it. Environment, social, whatever. It's all been co-opted by 501c3s. The focus switches from action and doing and real people interaction. It's switched now to chasing that dollar. And building that little group or that dynasty, you know, and your salary, and, you know, I'm a director of this and director of that. And, you know, the whole focus has switched to sustaining that organization and getting them reports in and, you know, justifying all this money. And so the issue, the movement, the action is secondary.
Mm.
So I refuse to be involved in it.
How can you and how do you raise money and resources?
Just from people I know. And I don't do more than you know, a small fundraising is going to help. I don't have grandiose plans, and I'm a community organizer, and I get a social security check, and, you know, I'll use my own money. But it's nothing that, and it's what I choose to do. I'm not, you know, I never complain or whine about nothing, because I could, if money was where I wanted to be, I sure wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now, you know. But the point being that you do as much as you can, you know, and financing it shouldn't be the main issue. If somebody decides, people I know, I just ask them, you know, do you think you could, you know, help? We're trying to get a, you know, community group of young people over to a gathering at the Bear Butte issue, you know, where we're fighting that sacred lands issue, you know, and we want to take some young people, but, you know, our tribal council will help us with a vehicle and stuff, but we have to raise our own gas money, you know, just things like that. Mm. So then it's something that people can donate $5 to, and then, you know, whatever. You know, no, I don't, you know, it's got to be a people to people thing. It's got to be, it, you know, because if you start thinking bigger than that, then you're getting into this other realm that, you know, it turns out to be salaries, and, you know, per diem and, you know, mileage rather than community, getting community members to a meeting, you know? So, yeah, I'm strictly grassroots. I don't want to waste my time on anything else.
I could not agree with you more. Thank you so much for sitting and talking with me. Madonna Thunderhawk will be at New College Cultural Center, which is at 777 Valencia Street, May 30th, from 6:30 until 8, or 8:30, or whenever we finish. We'll take our time, but please drop by. For more information, go to BayCorps' website at www.baycorps.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.